We have just watched what is arguably a classic World Series between the Texas Rangers and the St. Louis Cardinals. Of course, you know, I lived in Texas for, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years, pastoring a church there, and I really wanted to pull for Texas. Couldn't bring myself to do it, however, because they beat the Detroit Tigers, you know, and I'm always a Tiger. There were some other extenuating circumstances that kept me from pulling for Texas. So I ended up pulling for St. Louis. And, of course, they pulled it out in 7 games. Game 6, quite a thriller. A man that was on the field for every one of those games is Major League umpire Ted Barrett, who is also the founder of a ministry, a Christian ministry, called Calling for Christ, that ministers to Major League Baseball umpires. And Ted Barrett, it's an honor to welcome you here to the Paul Edwards program.
Oh, hey, Paul. Honor to be on. Thank you.
You've been a Major League umpire for, what, 16, 17 years?
Finished my 15th complete season, and I've been a professional umpire since 1989.
You were, prior to that, I understand, a boxer.
I tried to make a living doing that. It didn't go so well, but met a lot of great people and got out with relatively all my faculties in place.
So. Yeah, I'm wondering if there was ever a time on the field as an umpire that those boxing skills might have needed to come in handy.
Well, there's been a few times, mostly in the minor leagues, where we had to fight our way out of some cities and some fans, but hasn't had to come into play lately, thankfully.
What is it like to be a Major League Baseball umpire? I mean, you're not a stranger to the World Series. You were on the field in 2007, and you've worked, I think, 7 different division series and 4 different championship series, so I got to believe the pressure on an umpire is got to be a little bit different than it is just during the regular season.
Oh, it definitely is. It's like somebody takes the intensity volume and turns it way up in the postseason. It, every pitch becomes, very eventful. And so you just concentrate very hard. And, you know, I try to work very hard during the season. So when I get to the postseason, I don't have to change what I do. But I do notice the intensity level between the crowd and the players. Everything gets turned way up.
How is it for you to be, for instance, Game 6 in St. Louis, and you're there? How is it to keep your lack of bias? I mean, you got the fans that are all cheering for the home team. How do you tune out that so that mentally you're not persuaded by the home field advantage there to maybe give a call in favor of the home team?
Well, you know, I think one thing that I did take from my boxing career that really helped was the ability to kind of tune the crowd out and concentrate on what's going on in the second. You know, we have to concentrate so hard, especially behind the plate, just to keep our focus, that we really are, we have become accustomed to tuning the crowd out. I know that's hard to believe. People talk about how loud it was there, and I really didn't notice any different from the regular season because we are trying to tune it out. And ultimately, we just want to get the call correct. So when we have a ball that's hit, say, a fair foul, we just want to get it right. And the crowd can boo all they want, but they're going to go back and see the replay and see that we're right. So
yeah,
our biggest fear is to miss something and to be wrong no matter which way it goes. And so that's where I think we just completely block the crowd out and try to concentrate on getting things right.
I read a story, I don't know if it was in the New York Times or the LA Times, somewhere in the last week, there was a story about Ted Barrett's strike zone in game six of the division series between the New York Yankees and the Detroit Tigers, and they were saying that your strike zone was pretty wide that day. And here's my question for you, Ted: How has the advent of technology, where particularly on national broadcasts now, in the right hand bottom of the screen, they've got that box up there and they show where the pitch lands. How much of that is an influence on you after a game when, you know, you hear, well, you know, the technology said the ball was outside or it was on the line or it was low? Does that influence you at all?
No, not at all. I mean, we don't have the advantage of having the technology on the field, so we just do the best we can with our judgment. There's a big discrepancy on what technology is used. Obviously, they're always writing articles and second-guessing us, and that's part of our job. But We're not convinced that any of the technology is completely accurate. Now, we do have a grading system with Major League Baseball that uses a system to grade our plate work. And even admittedly, Major League Baseball admits that that is not 100% accurate. And so adjustments are made accordingly. I think the day will come one day where it will be 100% accurate. And maybe the day will come where they won't need us to stand back there. They can use technology, but they haven't figured that out yet. So until that day, we'll keep doing it. But things like that, articles, they really don't bother us because we umpire in the present and the here and now. And I had the satisfaction of knowing that that game I did a great job. I had compliments from supervisors, from players, from everybody else. And so, not that that's a factor one way or the other, but I knew I did a good job. And we'll let the technology people, they can go ahead and offer their opinions.
Major League Baseball umpire Ted Barrett is my guest. He's the co-founder of a ministry to umpires, Calling for Christ, which we'll talk to him about in just a moment here. You know, Ted, when you mentioned there might come a day that the technology can replace an umpire, that would be a worse day for baseball than the designated hitter rule, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and most purists, I think, would think that way. But as you know, as you read out there in the blogosphere, there's people that they want computers doing the job, and hopefully that day won't come for a while.
What is your relationship like with the players on the field, and particularly catchers? I notice if a catcher gets pretty, if he takes a ball off the mask, the home plate umpire behind the plate is quick to go out and brush off the plate. What's the camaraderie? Is there camaraderie with umpires, players, either on or off the field?
Yeah, there is on the field. You know, we're professional courtesy. Yeah, like you mentioned, a guy will get hit with a ball, and we'll make sure he's okay. You know, the players know how to interact with us by the time they get to that level, and we know how to interact with them. And so there's just a professional courtesy that goes on. From a spiritual standpoint, I know I have discussions with guys, quite a few guys, about their faith, what's going on with them. I try to encourage them. We try to challenge each other with what we're studying, what we're reading, what we're learning. You know, a guy will come to bat. It might just be a quick second, but I'll say, hey, what are you studying? So I always know either he's quick to answer or he kind of stammers, or I'll ask a guy, what are you reading? Do you got any books for me? because we live kind of in this bubble of professional baseball, and especially, you know, the players will travel with their 24 teammates plus staff, but with us, there's just four of us throughout the season, and so a lot of us are starving for fellowship, but we don't hang out because it's not professional with the players. We don't, but we might run into them in town if we're at a restaurant or walking down the street by the hotel, where we say hello. No, that's my interaction with him. Might be a little bit different than some of the other guys, but I do have quite a few conversations with him, and I do get encouraged by him, and hopefully I do some encouraging as well.
Yeah, during the World Series, you would have had an opportunity to interact with Albert Pujols, who I understand is a believer, a Josh Hamilton, who is a believer, and certainly on the Detroit Tigers, Ramon Santiago and Don Kelly are a couple of the guys that I know are believers, so When you have an opportunity on the field to chat with them, are spiritual things coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just ask them how they're doing, how their walk's doing, how their soul's doing. You know, I have different questions I ask guys. They ask me the same. Josh Hamilton and I, yeah, we talked in the outfield briefly. Also, a cool thing with the Cardinals, Matt Chandler, a pastor up in North Texas, he came down and spoke to the Cardinal team.
Wow.
Before game five, actually, when I worked the plate, Matt Holliday told me about that. And so some of the players, Freeze, the third baseman, Pujols, and some of the other ones, I asked them, I said, hey, did you get a chance to listen to Matt? And they said, yeah, it was great. And they shared a little bit about what he talked about. I do have those conversations, and that's always very cool because, it just reminds us that we're out there for something bigger. You know, we're not just out there for a ball game. We're out there trying to glorify God, and that's our main focus. And that helps keep things in perspective, too, as well.
Yeah, I think you told Baptist Press, my sole purpose is to glorify God when they ask you about work in the World Series.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, if I can do that, that's my main focus. And, you know, I pray before we go out there that God uses me somehow, whether it's just doing a good job and getting off the field and not being noticed. If that glorifies him, great. If it's missing a call and having a situation that comes up and handling it in a godly way, that's not my idea not my perfect idea of how I want it to go. But if that's what God wants to do, then I'm in for that as well. And so that's the reason I'm out there. That's why I do the job. And again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what people think. If I please God with my work that day, then I'm happy, and I can put my head on the pillow and rest.
Tell me about your ministry, Calling for Christ. How did that get started, and does it work I'm very familiar with Baseball Chapel, and I'm wondering, do the umpires are they able to participate with the players in chapel, or are you guys kind of doing your own thing?
Well, when I first came to the big leagues in 1994, there was absolutely nothing out there for us. And Baseball Chapel was great at reaching out to the players, but they would come knock on the door to serve the umpires, and the umpires were very resistant to it. And so eventually Baseball Chapel just kind of gave up reaching out to the players. Not their fault. They just kept meeting rejection, with the umpires. And so that started to change, and working with the Baseball Chapel people, who are great. They've done a great job the last few years of reaching out to us. It went from rejection to now just about every crew on Sunday, they'll get chapel. So the chaplains will go to the visiting team and have a service with them. They'll go to the home team, and then they'll come over to us and spend a few minutes in our locker room. So that's been great. There's some other groups like UPI, and that's a baseball group, and they've done a great job of reaching out to the umpires as well. Now, Calling for Christ came around in 2003. It was myself and another umpire, Rob Drake, who's a major league umpire now, was a minor league umpire at the time. We went to a Bible study retreat up here in Arizona, and we thought this would be great if we could do something like this with the umpires, but we had no idea how. So a pastor up in the Oklahoma City area, we met him. He brought us out to Falls Creek, Oklahoma, a Baptist youth camp, and we had our first retreat there. We were hoping that a bunch of guys would show up, but 12 guys showed up, and they were all young guys, rookie ball, A ball. And now God's built that up. A lot of those young guys that first showed up, they're starting to get major league time now. They're AAA umpires, and so we could see that God was really building it from the ground up. But you know, over the last 8 years, we really just, it's amazing what God's doing in the umpire world. We had no blueprint for this. There's never been a ministry like this, and so we're kind of feeling our way, and Baseball Chapel's been a great help to us just in how we can reach out and minister to these guys. So that's where we're at. We've really had minor league umpires take hold of it. More and more major league umpires are taking hold of it now, and we're just trying to expand and reach all the guys for God's glory.
And how many umpires do you have participating with your ministry? And forgive me, but I'm assuming it goes beyond just the major league level. It's also minor league, and would it involve college umpires? How far does the reach of your umpiring ministry go?
Well, there's 68 major league umpires. There's about 200 minor league umpires. And right now, that's our focus, just because we don't want to get – eventually, we'd like to encompass college, high school, and other groups. But right now, we don't want to get too big. We want to keep our focus on the professional guys. And what happens is a lot of the minor league guys come to the retreat. They're blessed by that. And, you know, there's 68 of us in the major leagues, and we stay there until we die or retire. And so there's not that many openings. So you have minor league guys get released every year out of professional baseball. And what happens is they keep coming back to the retreat. Mm. So Last year we had about 70 guys who were all at one point professional umpires. Now at the major league level, we haven't had as many guys come to the retreat. They're guys that get home in the winter like I just did, and they hate to leave home. But in the, last year we started a prayer conference call during the week. Every Friday we get on the conference call and we pray for just the group and their needs of all the major league umpires. And we had about as many as 25 major league umpires. So if you look at their 68 and we have 25, that's a pretty good percentage. Yeah. And we're on there that are on there faithfully every week, praying for the group, praying for our families, praying for each other. And that's been encouraging. So we've got a lot of guys getting involved. God's really moving in this profession. So it's gone from where I think the enemy had control over it to God just breaking through and reaching the guys. And it's been great to be a part of it.
Ted, what are some of the issues that, without being specific, but in broad categories and broad terms, what are some of the issues that Major League Baseball umpires deal with on a personal, spiritual level that this audience can be praying for you about?
Well, at the just like a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, that are men that travel on the road and are away from home, a lot of those issues, a lot of loneliness, just because you've got games at night from 7 to 10, and then you've got a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we travel on certain days and things like that. But a lot of downtime. A lot of times in hotel rooms alone, we'll suffer from depression. We're fathers trying to raise our kids at a distance. And so, you know, we really just need the prayers for our families, our wives and children. Our wives basically are single mothers during the baseball season. And so we've all got a lot of family issues. But just as men, we struggle with being on the road alone, trying to stay pure, trying to remain faithful to our wives, and just trying to stay out of situations that would bring us into trouble. Just with the scrutiny of the job, you know, if you Google my name, you'll find a lot of bad things written about me.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
and so that's out there. And so, you know, you start dwelling on those type of things. We deal with missed calls. We deal with, you know, a lot of scrutiny, technology ruling over us on our jobs. And so it can become overwhelming. The pressure can become great. Even though I said we try to block out the fans with their yelling and screaming, sometimes, certain times it gets to you. And so those are all things that we could use prayer for. You know, we're a very, I think, misunderstood group, the stereotypical umpire being confrontational and overweight and slovenly, and that's just not true. These are stand-up guys. I know all 68 of them, you know, 67 other guys other than myself. I know them very personally, very in an intimate way, and they are just fantastic guys, good people. And, you know, I'm a guy that's kind of flown under the radar, but if you look at some of our other veteran guys, some of the things that are written about them and are said about them over the air by commentators, it's very hurtful. And but anyway, we try to encourage each other and lift each other up, so that's what we're doing.
Where is Jim Joyce?
Jim Joyce is up in Portland, Oregon, up where he lives. Now, you know, you talk about pressure and you know, the people in Detroit and all over the baseball world will always know who his what his name is. He'll mm-hmm. be famous. It'll be on his tombstone when he passes away. You know, that's not something that he wanted,
mm-hmm.
obviously. So, but I will tell you that, you know, God's using this situation to draw him closer to him. We just continue to pray for Jim. He was out this season with some physical injuries, not even sure if he'll come back next year. But, you know, that's just the type of situation of a great umpire. Don Denkinger comes to mind for the fans from the 85 series.
Right.
One of the great umpires of the modern era will forever be known by one missed call. Jim Joyce, just a fantastic guy. You know, salt of the earth. Raised in Toledo, I believe. You know,
mm-hmm.
parents are auto workers, just like a lot of your
yep.
your listeners. Although he did handle the situation well, and Mr. Galarraga and Leland did too, he'll forever be known as someone that made a bad call. And so that's the type of career we're in. We're one call away from infamy that we don't want.
Yeah, one of the greatest moments, Ted, in baseball history, as far as I'm concerned, is the day after that missed call when Galarraga walked the lineup card out to Jim Joyce. That I still get choked up just remembering that moment.
Absolutely. You know, that was a classy thing. There's grace and forgiveness and everything else. But I want people to realize that that's the type of relationship we have with the players. You know, heat of the moment, sometimes there's confrontations, ejections. But for the most part, they are very appreciative of the job we do. They realize the difficulty of the job we do. And they respect that. And we respect them for their abilities and the pressures they're under. I think it's the public, especially with the technology we have, with blogs and things like that, that they have a misunderstanding of what we do. But as far as things on the field, they're better than ever, as far as I'm concerned. And I attribute it to the fact that God is moving in the baseball world with the players, with the umpires, managers, front office people. Like I said, I think the enemy had dominion over this game for a long time. And God is taking it back and taking it back in a big way. We've got revival in Major League Baseball, and it fires me up.
That is awesome. I want to say to you, Ted, and this may be way out of line on my part, but I just want to say to you, Ted, that you and your crew never have to be lonely when you're in Detroit. I mean, when you're coming back through Detroit next year, I would love to take you and your crew to lunch. You know, if you've got time for that, and I'll get in touch with you. Off the air, but you know, I want to make that you know, the notion that Christian Brothers would, and I realize that your entire crew probably aren't all Christians, but the notion that you as a Christian brother would be in Detroit and alone, that shouldn't have to happen. And you know, if you're up to it and you're free, I would love to have the opportunity as a pastor and as a baseball fan to spend some time with you.
Well, you know, I stay in the usually downtown area, and I'd love that. I love to get together and just talk with pastors because I just love hearing what God's doing in their lives and with the people that they serve. And so, I would really relish that. I had the good fortune of working with Rick Reed for many years, who lives up in the Rochester area.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retired now, but I always make it a point to visit with him. That would be I'd really love the opportunity to sit with you and hear what God's doing in your life.
Appreciate so much the work that you guys do on the field and now off the field with this ministry, and know that that I'll be praying for you, Ted.
Well, thank you so much, and appreciate what you're doing, getting people out over the airwaves to hear about the glory of Christ. And so thank you so much for what you do.
Ted Barrett, Major League Baseball umpire. He's the founder of Calling for Christ.